Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
So just as we're in the presence of the Lord, I just want to read a portion of scripture and then we'll get into the message this morning. It's 3 John. I'm going to read from verse 1, from 1 to 4. And it says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I hope you pronounce it like that, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that your children walk in truth." Let's just pray, every head bowed right now. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Father, we pray if there's anything that would try and interrupt your word really changing the lives of your children, Lord, we rebuke that, Lord. And we pray that you would just take full control of this environment. Let there be transformation. Let there be change. Let there be a tangible experience with who you are this morning, Lord. To you be the glory and the praise in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. Praise God. I just want to thank Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, for the opportunity to preach this morning. I thank leadership. I thank Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, and the leadership for the opportunity to really speak to you this morning. I have a word for everybody. I thank my beautiful wife for her support, really helping, giving me the space to prepare this word. So thank you. And yeah, let's get into it. So the topic, well, the heading of the scripture today is the process of transformation. And if you want to give it a little subheading, I want you to put mindsets. Mindsets. And I believe today that there's a lot of people who are going to get a breakthrough. I genuinely believe that. You know, I believe that there's a breakthrough for you here today. And this portion of scripture is an interesting portion of scripture. Now, when John wrote this portion of scripture, he was very mature in the faith. He was someone who had seen a lot by this point. He wasn't a young buck trying to find his way. He was somebody who had been in the faith for a good portion of time, and it was safe to say that he knew some things. He knew some things. And he makes a suggestion in this scripture that I think opens up a wealth of understanding for all of us. He speaks about the soul prospering. And he says that it's in relation to you prospering in all things, even your health. So what he's saying that I want you to prosper in every single area of your life. And this is going to be measured by the depth and the degree that your soul prospers. I want you to hold something in your mind this morning. I want you to hold the fact that your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. I'm going to try to keep this message as simple as possible, but it's hard because it's not a simple message. You see, the interesting thing about this scripture is the fact that the writer is talking about something having an effect on something else. He's actually talking about something that is seen having an effect on something that is unseen. He's talking about matters of the mind having an effect on your experience physically. I want to tell you that every single day you have an experience with the world and the people around you. And the experience that you're having with the world and in the world and with the people around you is impacted by what it is that you are believing. what it is that you believe in, what it is that you're standing up. You see, in Genesis 1, we come to understand that when God made mankind, he made mankind in his image. He made us in his image. So when he made us in his image, first of all, he made us as spirit beings. So for some people, they might not be aware the fact that you are actually a spirit being. When someone passes away, what happens is their spirit leaves their body. The spirit leaves and there's a disconnect and then the body is no longer alive. But the person is still alive. So you could actually say that you are a spirit living inside of a body, having an experience with this natural world. So when we're dealing with you, we are dealing with not necessarily this outward packaging, but we're dealing with the inside man. The inside man. And that inside man was made first and foremost in the image of God. So when mankind was originally made, the understanding of the human being would have been in line with the truth of God. If God had said something to a human being at that point, there wouldn't have been any confusion. Anybody had an experience where God had said something to him and it was like, for real, Lord? Or you're looking through the scripture and you see people's experiences with God and you're like, for real though? It really happened. And it's hard to believe. The reason being is because that image that we had, that image that was on the inside of us, it became distorted. But first of all, that was the intent of God. But then we see in Genesis 3 that when man had made that fatal mistake and they had chose not to listen to the voice of the Lord, there was another spirit that started to operate. The Bible says that sin and death had crept in. There was a law of sin and death that crept in. And in Genesis 3 verse 10, this was Adam's response. He said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam had come to a place now that when he was hearing God's voice, he was now afraid. When I was studying Genesis, the interesting thing is I started to notice that there was a lot of speech going on. Everything was around speech. God was saying this and saying that and creating this and creating that. And even at this point, Adam is now referring to the speech of God. He's saying, when you spoke, I heard it. But then his response was fair. Adam had come to a place now where he was operating in the spirit of fear. I want to ask you, is there anything that God has spoken into your life and your response towards that is not one of dear rejoice, but it looks a bit more like fear? It looks a bit more like unbelief. It looks a bit more like, are you sure, Lord? But I want to tell you this morning that the reason why you're experiencing that is because your mind is not necessarily where it needs to be. But don't worry, there's an answer for that. There's a fix. You see, when the Lord entered the garden, in verse 11, we see he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Who told you? God was saying, there's another voice now speaking to you. This isn't my voice. This isn't something that I told you. Where was you now getting this information? You see, before that, man was linked to the mind and the heart and the voice of God. It was instant. God was thinking something, saying something. It was instantly received by the man, and he was doing it. There was no discord. There was no disconnect. But now we start to see that there's an issue. Bible says that the man's eyes were opened. His eyes were opened up. You see, before the man's eyes was opened up, he had eyes. Before his eyes were opened up, he had ears. But he wasn't operating by these physical eyes and physical ears like we were. He was operating by his spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. But now there was a change, there was a transition. The man wasn't being led by his spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears anymore. He was now being led by his physical eyes and physical ears. And things that he was physically seeing and things that he was physically hearing were now depicting what it was that he was believing. You see, in the world, they say seeing is believing. That is not a kingdom quote. That's not from the Lord. Seeing is believing. No, Genesis 1, things were not seen, and God told it to be, and then it occurred. Believing and saying was believing and having. That's the way it's supposed to be. But then we had the disconnect. So now man found themselves trapped. They found themselves in a situation where they no longer were being carried by the voice of God, no longer being carried by the sight of God, but now they're being carried by what they would see with their limited eyes and limited sight. You see, I don't know about you, but when God speaks to you and he tells you something, he gives you the ability to see something that is not there yet. Anybody had that experience? Can I just see a show of hands just to make me feel, oh, wow, there's a lot of hands. You see? Lord speaking. Shando. So he gives you the ability to see something. This is what we call spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. And then, is there anybody who has that experience where there's an impression so real on the inside of you that it's almost like it's audible? That's spiritual ears. You see, at one point, we was totally drifting along by our spiritual sight and spiritual ears. That was it. There wasn't no relationship that we were having with our physical eyes and physical ears. That wasn't what drove us by. It was that spiritual sight that sees the unseen. It was those spiritual ears that get a real impression of what it is that God is saying. That's what we was carried by. See, that's why I get excited when I think about the testimonies that have been spoken over our church. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has. And we're actually seeing that. I've heard so many testimonies over the last few months, last few weeks. People are getting breakthrough. People are finding themselves in positions, in different walks of life, that could only have happened by the grace of God. This is the no eye has seen, the no ear has heard. This is people walking out on that stuff that God has said, God has spoken. You see, God has a mission. When mankind was in this state, where they were now being carried by what they saw physically and what they heard physically, God had a mission to put that image that they once had back inside of them. He had to get it back inside. It was like, they don't understand my voice anymore. They don't understand what I'm saying, what I'm speaking. They can't hear me no more. When I'm showing them something, they cannot even comprehend that. Their minds have lost the plot. Let's get it back. And you see, there's actually a prophecy that taking place. And in Matthew, it's referenced in Matthew 13, 14 to 15. Jesus is speaking. It says, and in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. so that I should heal them. You see, when you don't understand about the spiritual eyes and the spiritual ears, scriptures like that just won't make sense. You'll be like, well, I am listening. Well, I am reading it and seeing it. But Jesus was referring to a deeper thing. He was talking about not these eyes. He was talking about the eyes on the inside. Jesus was talking about not these ears. He was talking about the ears on the inside. That mankind will come to a place that they wouldn't be able to see what it is that he was showing them, and they wouldn't be able to hear what it is that he was saying. But how many people know that God did not leave us in that state? He didn't leave us in that state. He sent King Jesus. King Jesus to come down to earth, pay the price, and rebuild that relationship. Then he sent the Holy Spirit. Then the image was back inside of us, and now we can understand God again. Yay! But there is still a challenge. And it dawned on me when I was studying this, is that the challenge is that even though you receive the Spirit of God, your eyes are still open. God doesn't reverse that process. He doesn't take away the fact that you're still receiving information from the physical eyes and the physical ears. He doesn't change that. He doesn't reset that back. He says, okay, I'll save the spirit man. I'll now have a conversation with the spirit man again. I'll now start to speak words and show you vision and sight on the spiritual level again. But you still will hear information from the flesh. So there's some things that God is saying to you today. There's some things that God's been speaking. He's been showing you things. He's been showing you places that he wants to take you. He's been showing you the heights of life. But at the same time, the flesh is speaking. You know, the interesting thing about the senses, the interesting thing about the flesh is that it's a creature of habit. The flesh is a creature of habit. You know that the things that you hear and the things that you see and the things that you experience, it starts to mold your expectations. Starts to mold your expectations. And the funny thing is half of your expectations that you have today are not even based on you. Half of your expectations are probably based on your parents or your carers or your social environment while you was growing up. That's what has formed your expectations in life. Because there was things that you was told when you was growing up. And there's things that you saw whilst you was growing up. And there was things that you experienced whilst you was growing up, which started to form what it is that you believe is possible. Started to form these things on the inside of you that you start to say, you know what? I don't think that I'm able to achieve that. You start to paint an image on the inside of you. What image is that? That image ain't the image that God gave Adam and Eve. Now you got a new image on the inside of you. An image that was formed by the world. An image that was formed by the things you saw and the things that were spoken and your experiences. And that image now changed you and holds you. I want to give you an example of this. When you turn to Matthew 14, I mean, you're probably familiar with this scripture, but it might look a little bit different today. Matthew 14, verse 27 to 33. There was a time when Jesus, you know, it's with the disciples when Jesus wasn't around, how they got into trouble. Like children, you know, when you don't watch them, you're not looking over them for a moment. Next thing you know, they're getting in trouble. They're involved in mischief. That's what it was like, because I know when Peter was around, it was mischief. Peter was alive, wired. He was one of them guys that was getting into something. When they came for Jesus, he pulled the sword out, cutting off ears. You're taking my Lord. You know what I mean? I love my Lord. That's what I like about Peter, man. He weren't playing games. Straight up live wire. But in this scripture here, we see that this situation that was occurring, it had nothing to do with Peter. It was to do with nature. There were some waves that had occurred on the water, and it was posing a bit of a threat for the boat that they were in. And it was just a natural situation. You know that sometimes when there's things that are going wrong in life, sometimes it's not Satan. Everyone always blames it on warfare. Don't get me wrong, sometimes there is warfare. But sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just natural. Things just happen. That is the world that we're living in. We're living in a fallen world, so things are not perfect. Sometimes you go through some stuff. And this is what they were experiencing. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus is a dunce. It's I. Do not be afraid. It's just me. Just remember that it's him that is with you. When you're going through that stuff, you got to remember that Jesus is with you. That's why I love those testimonies, like the one that Sister Vicky just gave. God's just showing, look, I'm with you. Even in this little thing. Okay, you get the hotel, you pay for the taxi, the bills are rising up, but don't worry, I got you. I got you covered. You're going to get that back and more. He's got your back. So Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Let's just stop there for a moment. Peter was onto something. He was onto something. I was thinking about this scripture, and I was thinking, to me, this is an odd dialogue. It's an odd dialogue. So let's picture this. So Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter is saying, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Like, sometimes we read these scriptures, like, and just breeze by it. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing to say. But there was something that Peter was onto. When you really check what he said, if it's you, command me. Peter was onto the fact that he had seen a pattern of Jesus commanding things. And when Jesus was commanding things, he always saw a successful outcome. So he looked at the situation and he said, you know what? If you command me, then this is going to work out. I've seen this before. So you command me, and then I will walk out, because everything that you command comes to pass. So then he commanded him and said, look, it's me, come. Peter started to walk out on the water. When he was walking out on the water, the waves did not stop. They were still there. And when he looked around and he started to sense the situation, then he started to panic, and then he started to, and then he called out, Lord, save me. How many things has God spoken into your lives? I know that there's some promises in this room. I know that there's some promises in this room. I know that God has spoken some things into your lives. But my thing is this, is I think that there's too many people that are shook of the waves. Too many people who were shook of the waves. But today I want that there would be some water walkers that would rise up in this place and say, I am ready to start walking on some water. Why are people shook of the waves? The reason why they're shook of the waves is because they've got sense. That's why. That's the reality. The reality is you're not stupid because you're shook of the waves. You've got sense, so you're shook of the waves. But the problem is you've got the wrong sense. Come on now. Shando.
The wrong senses are the ones that you're operating by. Because you're operating by what you can see and operating by what you can hear in the flesh. So you're in the flesh. You see, the thing about God is God wants to take you from one place to another. One destination to another. And the place that he wants to take you is greater than where you are. But the problem is if there's some mindsets that have developed in your life based on what you was told, if there's some mindsets that are developed in your life based on what you saw and what you experienced before, which was limited, then you're not going to be able to step into that place. But I'm telling you today that this is the day when you say, I'm going to lay down those mindsets. This is the day that I'm going to lay down those limitations. There's people who look at themselves and say, look, you know what? I feel like God's calling me to this thing over here, but I feel inadequate. There's people who say, you know what? God is taking me into this place, but I feel like it's too great for me. Am I worthy? Are the people going to think that, who do I think I am to be stepping into this situation? But I want to tell you that God has plans for you that are way beyond what you could even think or imagine or dream for. You have to ask yourself, why is it that you're actually thinking those things? Ask yourself that. The truth of the matter is because your thinking has been shaped by what you was told, what you saw, and what you experienced. And what you was told wasn't the word of God. And what you saw wasn't the hand of God. And what you experienced wasn't the manifestation of God. So therefore, what you saw, what you heard, and what you had experienced wasn't in line with God's word, and you're walking out now in the flesh and not in his word. That's why the opening scripture was talking about the fact that all things will be well based on the prospering of your soul. So what are we talking about with the prospering of the soul? It's very simple. We're talking about how in line your mind is with the word of God. That is literally it. It's not anything deep. How in line is your mind with the word of God? If there's a situation that's in front of your life, and you're looking at it, and you're saying, I don't know if I can step into that. Then when I look into the word of God, it told me that we are supposed to be of good courage. We're supposed to be courageous. That God has given us a spirit of boldness, not a spirit of timidity. That we are more than conquerors, that we are the head and never the tail. That we are above, never beneath. So when you start to think about that situation and it brings that anxiety, then who's prophesying? That ain't Jesus' words that's operating on the inside of you. That's not the image of God operating on the inside of you. And Peter started to walk out. And now he started to look at the situation and he wasn't listening to come, Peter. He wasn't listening to that no more. He was now listening to, wow, these waves are really, really deep, Peter. And he was shook. But I don't know about you, but that's why I get excited when I'm surrounded by giants of the faith. Giants of the faith. People who are giants in the faith. I like to surround myself with people who are giants in the faith. I don't like surrounding myself with those small faith people. Sorry about that. If you're a small faith person, I'm cool with you and I love you, but you will not. I'm not going to be around you when it's time for me to take my steps. I support you through your steps, but in the time for me to take my steps, I'm getting around some faith giants because I need to be around some people who believe what it is that God has said in his word and will not shake from his truth. Not 1 meter to the left, not 1 meter to the right, but only and solely believe what God has said. You see, in this room today, there's people who are going to step into places of politics, education, sports arena. There's people who are going to step into high-end levels of ministry, people who are going to be worldwide leaders. There's people who are going to take nations. There's people who are going to be tremendous home directors. There's people who are going to run the gang in the future. There's people who are going to do amazing things. But it all depends on how well your soul prospers. It all depends on how well your soul prospers. Sanctification is both immediate and a process. Immediate and a process. Because a human being comprises of the spirit, which is who you are, and then the soul and the body. The soul is the place where your mind is. This is your intellect, your emotions, your mind, and your emotions. And then you've got your body, which is this here, which has social impacts. This is the end product. Now, when you get saved, Jesus Christ comes and finds a resident on the inside of the spirit. So you get saved, and the spirit man is saved. But you see, the soul is still under some dire straits. Dire straits. The mind and the emotions are still channeled to believe some stuff that's not necessarily in line with God. That's why sanctification is instant and also progressive. You'll see that throughout scripture. It'll talk about sanctification in both of those ways. It'll say that it's instant, but it will say that it's also as you're being sanctified. Because what it is now that you are saved, you are prosperous in spirit, but you're not yet prosperous in your soul. And if you're not prosperous in your soul, then you won't be prosperous in your body. And if you're not prosperous in your body, it's going to be real hard for you to be prosperous socially. You see, it all flows out from the spirit to the soul to the body to reaching and touching society. So how do you get through the sanctification process? Well, first of all, you need to get saved, because if you don't have the image of God on the inside of you, you will not understand his truth. So if there's anybody who's in this room today that says, you know what, I don't believe that I've received Jesus Christ on the inside of me, I've not received his spirit, then half of what I said today probably didn't make any sense. But there probably is a prompting on the inside of you that says, you know what, I need to give my life to the Lord. Because the Spirit of God wants to enter in. So that's the first part. And there's a lot of people in this room are saved. But then the second part is now the soul. And what it's about reprogramming your mind. Reprogramming your mind. You have preconceptions, opinions about everything. Opinions about friendships, relationships, opinions about business, opinions about ministry, opinions about yourself. You have opinions about yourself. You have opinions about yourself that because it's you, you think it's true. And no one can tell you because it's you. But I'm telling you, you're wrong about some of the stuff that you believe about yourself. Opinions. So what God says is, I've saved your spirit, man, but now it's time for me to work on your soul. You haven't got it all figured out. Some things need to change. That's why when you read the Bible, it's like, wow. And at first, when you're real prideful, it's like, I don't get that, so that can't be true. But then eventually you grow up and you're like, I don't get that because I ain't smart enough. But I want to challenge everybody in their reading this year, as the worship team return, I just want to challenge everybody in their reading, because the Bible is a big book, and there's a lot of information in it. But I want you to sit down with yourself and be real, real honest about what it is in your life where you say, you know what, I am seriously lacking in this department. if it's your confidence, if it's your marriage, if it's your health, if it's your physical or even your mental health, whatever it is, I want you to sit down and I want you to write out a reading plan where you say to yourself, you know what? Whatever it is that's going on in my life that seems highly challenged, highly opposite than what the Bible's been saying, then I want to start to renew my mind based on these subjects. So what you're going to do is you're going to literally find the scriptures that deal with that subject and say, I'm going to read these scriptures. I'm going to internalize these scriptures. I'm going to go over them until I believe them and they become a part of me. And then you've got to disassociate yourself with the old thinking, the stinking thinking. You've got to disassociate yourself with that. You've got to say, you know what? Okay, this is the truth, and that way of thinking is old. I don't want that no more. That thinking that would hold me back. You know, sometimes we get a little bit comfortable in our small thinking because small thinking is more comfortable to live with. It's like me, I like to get up early and get my grind on. I get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was saying this yesterday, you know what I like to do? You see, at nighttime, my bed is my friend. I'm like, yes, I love you. Boom. But you know, morning time, my bed is my enemy. That's why I wake up. I'm like, look, miss, you're trying to mess with my life. You better let go. Sometimes you gotta speak to yourself like that. Straight up. But I want you to look at your life and say, you know what? There's some thoughts that I have that they really just do not line up with the truth of God. And I want you to reject every single lying voice. Sometimes you hear a lying voice in the church. That's the truth. And that's the worst one to hear because when you hear it in the church, something in you makes you want to believe that it's true. It's easier to believe it's true when it came from the church. Sometimes someone might speak something that it's lacking faith and you need faith. Do not take any word of man over the word of God. So I know that there's some people in this room today who God has told you something this year. I know it. The prophecy that we got, no eye is seen, no ear is heard. I'm experiencing it fully in my life. I know that you are as well. I hear the rumors of it. I have conversations of it. Everybody's going through it to some sort of a degree. But there is some specific people in this room that you've been told something and you say, you know what? I'm struggling to believe it. I'm struggling to believe it. The reason why you're struggling to believe it is to do with these mindsets. These mindsets that have been building up over the years based on what was saw and heard and experienced in your past. But I want you to take a step today and say, you know what? I'm going to do what that preacher man said today. I'm going to sit down with these thoughts and I'm going to do what the Bible said, which is to take them under captivity. I'm going to line them up. Sometimes you got to get strategic. Get your A4 paper and your pen. You still got a pen. And write the thing out on the paper. This is the thought that is the problem. And this is the word, which is the truth. Now, this problem right here needs to start looking like this truth right here. And then I'm going to start to see the fruit in my life. That's how you wage war. Sometimes it's real practical. It's not funny shapes and making noises. That's not waging war. That's the truth of God. You see, the first opening scripture, he said, "For I rejoice greatly
When brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You see, the thing about the truth is we know that the truth is the word. So he said he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the word. That's what it is. So to actually see that people are walking in what God said instead of walking in what they've been told all these years, the truth. So let's just stand this morning. Let's just stand. And if you're one of those people that say, you know what, God has spoken to me this year about something very specific. Very specific. I believe that the word would have touched you this morning. I want you to make your way to the altar and I want you to just make a declaration before God. You can come right now. I know there's some people in this room. And just make a declaration before God and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow these limitations to hold me back. I'm not going to allow these limitations to hold me back. I'm not going to allow limited thinking to stop me from stepping in to what it is that God has for me.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.